And you are listening to Generations Friends. Kevin Swanson with you, executive director for Christian Home Educators out here in Colorado, also a pastor. But the reason I'm here, I'm a father of five, raising a son and four daughters. And, you know, today, by the time a young man is 12 years old, where is he at? What has he accomplished by the time he's 12 years old? Well, let me tell you this. He has learned the patience and endurance to play computer games for like 4 hours straight. He rides a pretty mean skateboard. He knows how to be surly with his sisters. He's beginning to scorn his mother. I'm just talking about the average teenage boy. He's watching R-rated movies, no problem. He's accomplished that. He wants to hang out with his friends most of the time, and he doesn't want to stick around and wash the dishes after dinner. See, that's the norm. That's the norm. But now you see, we got a problem now. Because I don't like the norm. All right? I don't like the, that's not for me. It's not for my son. You know, the real problem I think we're dealing with today is the problem of perpetual immaturity, perpetual adolescence. Children aren't growing up. Now, 100 years ago, this is not the case. 100 years ago, by the time young men were about 12 years old, they were thinking about their own farms. I think of Farmer Boy, the Little House on the Prairie series. He had Almanzo, by the time he was 12 years old, raising his own cows, raising his own horses. By the time young women were 15 years old, they were school teachers like Laura Ingalls Wilder, and they were getting ready to get married at 15. Because you didn't have to wait 15 years for somebody to grow up. Now, I know young men today are growing up by the time they're about 30 or 34, 35 years old. Many of them do not get married until they're 35, 36 years old. Why? Because they are still in their adolescence. They haven't grown up yet. Now, here's the deal, folks. If parents aren't working with their boys and girls at 8 years old or 10 years old or 12 years old, if they're not really focused and working on those boys as they ought to, God has given them the responsibility to train those boys, not to delegate it, to train their boys to be men and to raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord and to teach them God's word as they sit in the house, as they walk by the way, as they rise up, as they lie down. You know, God has given you parents responsibility to work with those young men and young women in those early years. And if you're not working with them when they're 8, 10, 12 years of age, then you're going to continue to encourage the perpetual adolescence we're talking about. All right. But here's what happened. We ran into S.M. Davis at a homeschool conference a few years ago. He has a talk called What to Expect from a 12-Year-Old. What you should expect from a 12-Year-Old. He runs a ministry called SolveFamilyProblems.com. We're going to be back with S.M. Davis in just a moment. What to expect from your 12-year-old. Next on Generations.
With literacy rates falling and American schools approaching third world nation status in math and science, parents everywhere are concerned, and they're getting involved. That's why tens of thousands of families across the state of Colorado have turned to home education. For over 20 years, Christian Home Educators of Colorado has hosted an annual conference designed to encourage and inspire families anywhere along the path, from beginners to veteran homeschoolers. Throughout the year, they offer special introductory seminars, retreats, graduations, a news magazine, and a satellite school to aid in the required record keeping. CHECK also offers a bookstore complete with the best resources, tapes, and curriculum, all of which has been carefully chosen to equip and supplement your homeschool program. To learn more about CHECK, visit their website at chec.org.
And welcome back to Generations Friends. Kevin Swanson with you. And today, talking about solving family problems and how to deal with the 12-year-olds and what to expect from 12-year-olds. And with me is Dr. S.M. Davis, who has been married to Ray Jean since 1969. They have four wonderful daughters, all actively serving the Lord, and also 11 grandkids. And I met Pastor S.M. Davis at the CHECK Conference a few years ago. Pastor Davis, welcome to Generations.
Thank you, Brother Swanson. It's good to be with you today.
Hey, you know, you've been working with families for a number of years. You've got a ministry called SolveFamilyProblems.com on the web. What's your goal, SM, for as you work with these families? What are you after here?
The website title, Solve Family Problems, really describes it. Of course, we like to head the problems off. Many people get our messages and deal with virtually any issue of the family that you want to talk about. And for lots of people, it saves their family, it saves their lives, saves their future. But for some people, it just heads the problems off and keeps them from ever having problems. So we like to equip families, be a blessing to families, help them understand biblically. Our ministry is distinctly biblical. Help them understand, not that we're against psychology or psychiatry totally, but I'm a preacher and a pastor, and I really do believe that the Bible has the answer to the problems of life. And so, you know, we like to give them Bible truths that they can sink their teeth into that help them understand what to do in relation to their family, especially raising their children.
We put two families side by side, SM, one family who, all their lives, they have never heard a scratch of Scripture, and they have not raised their family with any kind of a biblical vision, and put side by side with them somebody who has received messages from God's Word in relation to the raising of children, the establishing of marriage and family. Put those two families side by side. Do you think there's a difference 20, 25 years later?
There'll be a tremendous difference, especially if that family that has heard the Bible applies it. Now, if they don't apply it, then there may not be any difference at all. But if you take the Word of God, obviously God wrote it for mankind as a whole, and it's amazing to me how I even see sometimes lost people who don't even know the Lord applying Bible truths and how they work. They work in relation to marriage. They work in relation to raising children. They work in relation to getting to the marriage altar. They work in relation to, all of human life. It just works. It's tremendous. It's exciting to see how God wrote His Word and how applicable it is to all of human life.
And, of course, God promises a blessing to those who walk in His ways all the way through the Scriptures. And so important to bring these things out. They are a light to our paths. And certainly in raising children, we see that. And let's take a look at raising children. As you look at today's youth today, SM, it seems to me that a lot of kids, well, they've got sin in their lives. Obviously, that's an issue. But they're just not growing up. They're not growing up. They're not maturing. Why is that?
Well, we have a new concept in our day, Brother Swanson. We have the concept of adolescence. If you look back in history, in fact, there's been articles written about this, and I refer to it in my 12-year-old message. But if you look back in history, adolescence was not, you know, this is a new invention as far as history is concerned. Adolescence was not even thought about. A child was a child, and about age 12, even in history, whether they understood the Bible or not, they began to take on the responsibilities of manhood. And by the teen years, of course, we once were in basically an agrarian economy and culture, and by the teen years, a young man, in order for his family to survive, he was already taking on the responsibility of manhood along with his father, usually working side by side with his father, and there just wasn't the time or the finances for a young man to be to run the streets and be wild and reckless and all those things. And so you went from childhood to manhood, which really is the way I believe that God designed it, if you look at the Bible itself, and especially the story of Jesus at age 12.
SM, what's causing the problem? Is it effectively a godless society? People aren't interested in God's Word or the standards of God's Word? Is it our play-oriented recreational society? Is it television? Is it peers? What's going on? Why are people getting this message?
Well, part of it was, and I appreciate your emphasis on homeschool, And part of it has been that we have separated the children from their parents. And especially most of the problems you see in our day, the biggest problems are in these middle school years, which is age 13 or 14, which is right at age 12. And people simply have no vision for what we're talking about at all. People expect that their teenagers are going to be rebellious. That's what they expect with Swanson. And in fact, I was riding down the road listening to the radio one day, and I heard, I won't call his name, but I heard a nationally known speaker. If I called his name, virtually everybody would know who I'm talking about. And he refers to the teen years, and he laughs and he jokes, and he says, you know, those years, the music, the rebellion, the boyfriend, girlfriend, foolishness. I found myself shouting back at the radio saying, no, don't say that. People are going to think that's the normal thing. People already think that, and now they're going to, and because they think that's the normal thing, then that's just sort of what you expect, and so you don't do anything different, and there is no vision for the strength of manhood and the strength of womanhood that can be seen in young men and young ladies in their teen years if parents will catch a vision for that.
And, of course, expectations are powerful things. People tend to live up to expectations. So if you lay out an expectation that you're going to be kind of a goof-off between the times you're 12 years old and 25 or make that 30 years old, then they're probably going to goof off. They're probably not going to get serious about establishing a line of work, an occupation, laying out some fields, building a cabin, and then inviting Laura into his life to raise that family. That's probably not going to happen unless you lay out expectations to that effect.
Yes, and it's very important that it be not just a parent's expectations, but it be God's expectations for a child's life. Human expectations can actually damage relationships, but godly expectations, biblical expectations, don't damage relationships. They build relationships, and they form proper goals for parents in relation to their children.
Now, SM, let's talk about those expectations. What are the biblical expectations for a 12-year-old?
It's interesting to me, if you look in Luke chapter 2, you have the only picture of the Lord Jesus Christ from the time he was a baby until the time that he was 30 years of age. And we see him at age 12. And I asked myself the question, why do we see Jesus at age 12? And of course, there could be many reasons to answer that. But one reason for that, to me clearly, is that the Lord recognizes, if you look in the Bible, you see the number 12 in the Bible, 12 months in a year, 12 tribes of Israel, 12 officers chosen by Solomon to be over all Israel, 12 stones in the breastplate of the great high priest, 12 stones used by Elijah to build an altar to the Lord, 12 legions of angels. Jesus said he could call. The New Jerusalem has 12 foundations, 12 gates, 12 angels. And I could go on. Jesus chose 12 disciples. And that age 12 is a key age that parents should look and say, by age 12, my child should have these key things in his life. Then you look at Jesus at age 12, and you see what those key things are, and you know then, and this can be the parent looking at this, this can be the child looking at this. We've had numbers of testimonies from families where they got my DVD on this and watched it, and the children said, boy, I'm 14 and I don't have that, or I'm 10 and I need that. I need to make sure I get that in my life. And so when it's just a matter of catching the vision for this. And, of course, what happens, Kevin, is that if we reach these things properly at age 12, and, of course, there's no such thing as perfection, but there is such a thing as a car running right, and there's such a thing as a life running right. Without perfection, it just runs right. That's all. But if we reach these things at age 12, then we defuse the teenage time bomb before he ever gets here. We just don't have those problems.
Yeah, which means rebellion against their parents, the girlfriend-boyfriend thing, getting in trouble, lying, cheating, being slothful, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the sorts of problems that seem to dog the heels of a lot of teenagers.
Yes. And the key things that you want in a 12-year-old are the same things that you see in the life of Jesus when he was 12. The first one was he had a mature sense of responsibility, purpose, and destiny. He very plainly, the only words to come from the lips of the Son of God before he was 30 years of age. Here is 30 years. This is incredible. 30 years of life, and God gave us two sentences from the lips of the Son of God where Jesus looked at his parents and said, "How is it that ye sought me? Wished ye not that I'm, or knew ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" He had a sense of responsibility. He had a sense of purpose. He had a sense of destiny. He had a sense that God had a purpose for his life. His Heavenly Father had a purpose for his life. And that sense of responsibility, purpose, and destiny motivates a young person to realize, I am not just here for me. I mean, this adolescent rebellion, it is the ultimate in self-centeredness. And they realize, I am not here for me. I am here because God put me here, and there is a purpose for my life. And Jesus, of course, he demonstrated that better than anybody else ever in history, but he's our example here. It's interesting to me how he at age 12, some people don't put this together by looking at the scripture, but it's very plain right there. They had been to Jerusalem, and his parents had left and gone a day's journey before they recognized that Jesus wasn't with them. Now, what was going on there was that they already trusted him so thoroughly, so totally, so completely that they were not worried about him. A day's journey. It took them another day to go back to Jerusalem. Then it took them 3 days to find him once they got back to Jerusalem. Here are 5 days where the boy, Jesus, took care of himself, chose who he was going to be with, where he was going to be, what he was going to do. 5 full days. And where did they find him?
He was goofing off with his peers. He was goofing off with his peers.
I tell folks, he was not cruising up and down Jerusalem Boulevard with the local yokels.
Yeah.
He was in the temple.
Oh, okay.
Yes. He was in the temple, and he was talking to the doctors and the lawyers and so on. And it was, and of course, Kevin, you can look in history. It is incredible. In my message, What to Expect from a 12-Year-Old, I give a whole list of these people who, from the Bible and from history. You've got Joash at age 7. Josiah becomes king when he's 8 years of age. At 16 years of age, he repairs the temple of God. At 18 years of age, he cast out the vessels that were made for Baal. He breaks down the houses of the Sodomites. He takes a tremendous stand for God. And then in history, you've got Alexander Hamilton, you've got John Trumbull, you've got John Quincy Adams, you've got David Farragut, you've got Edward the Black Prince, Charles the XII, Hugh the Red, William McGuffey, author of the McGuffey Readers, John Hancock, General Thomas Stonewall Jackson, and all of these people who in their teen years, there was clearly a sense of leadership about them. You've got William McGuffey at age... 14 years of age, and he opens a school, and 40 students show up for instruction that lasts 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. McGuffey, of the McGuffey Readers, he is 14 when he has this. Stonewall Jackson finished school at age 16, and then he becomes a teacher, there are so many throughout history, but that is the first key thought, and that is just an incredible, important thing for parents to catch a vision for their young people and for young people to realize, hey, my life can be productive if I catch a vision of it.
Right. They have to have that vision, that purpose in life. And, I think, SM, that parents can convey that vision if every day from the time that little guy is born, from the time he's 2, 4, 6 years old, they're talking about that little boy's purpose in life, which is, today, God, we're here to seek your kingdom first. We're here today to glorify you and to live our lives for you today. God, we have one of the most important, the most important purposes that anybody could ever live a life, and we're going to live our life for that purpose today. I think if that's repeated again and again and again for years, as those parents pray, as they talk about what they're going to do in any given day, they're going to instill purpose in that young person's life.
Absolutely. So this 12-year-old should have a mature sense of responsibility, purpose, and destiny. The other key thoughts that I found in the scripture there was that he should have a keen sense of discernment, especially in relation to the company he keeps. Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools should be destroyed. And the ultimate example of that was the Lord Jesus in the temple with the doctors, hearing them and asking them questions. And a key skill that young people need to develop in their youth is to listen and to ask questions. It's such a blessing to me. I love speaking to young people. My ministry speaking to parents around the country came because of my burden for young people, because I used to go speak to young people, but then I'd see the young people get their lives straightened out and then see that the parents didn't catch the vision of it, and then the young people couldn't seem to keep it. And my vision of speaking to the parents is so that when the young people get their lives straightened out, then the parents can keep it and keep it going that way. But one of the biggest problems in our day is parents not understanding the power of friendships. I have a whole message now on that, understanding the blessings and hazards of friendships, where I point out friendships in the life of Jesus as an adult man, and then I point out how destructive friendships can be and how necessary friendships are for us to lift one another and encourage one another. And here's Jesus setting the example at age 12 with the right kind of friends. And, of course, you see other examples of that in Scripture as well.
And he's not with his peers. And I think that's an important point to be made. He's with those that are mature, with those that know something about the Word of God and are able to teach him some things. And he wants to sit there and listen to these folks. So it does not have to be fellow 11 and 12-year-olds.
Right. And I love it when I'm at a conference or convention somewhere, and the young people come up and start asking questions. That just has always, it doesn't happen all the time, but it happens occasionally, and it always impresses me. In fact, one of the things I like to do, I pastor a church here, been the same church since 1975, and I like to, once every 2 or 3 months, just get with our young people and just let them ask me questions and just answer their questions. Just do that. So another thing to expect from a 12-year-old is that they have a burning hunger to understand truth and wisdom, which you see clearly there, and that they are fully obedient and consistently respectful. Jesus looks at his parents, and, well, essentially, the Bible tells us he went down with them, came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. And, of course, really, obedience should and respectfulness should have been established in a child long before age 12. Really, when they're small, when they're 3, 4, 5 years of age, that's when obedience and respectfulness should be established in a child. But surely by age 12, if they don't have it established by age 12, they are going to really have some incredible problems with this child. The other things to expect from a 12-year-old is that he or she be totally committed to doing the will of God and have an unmistakable godliness about his life. And the word godliness is primarily used in relation to Timothy and Titus in the Bible. And here are these young men who were clearly godly young men, and there's no reason why a young man cannot be godly even in the year 2008.
Amen. Just as there have been godly men from the beginning of time, ever since you had Abel and others that were raised in godly families, and God has used them, of course, in mighty ways. A tremendous vision today, SM. Thank you for sharing with us. And, you know, we just scratched the surface, and folks, you need to hear the entire message. What to expect from a 12-year-old, and the website, again, is solvefamilyproblems.com. And SM, thanks so much for just whetting our taste for these godly expectations laid down in God's Word. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate the opportunity, and the Lord bless you and your ministry and the folks who are listening today.
And God bless you, too. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment. Again, folks, for your copy of What to Expect from a 12-Year-Old, I encourage you to visit the website solvefamilyproblems.com or call 800-500-8853. Again, that's 800-500-8853. And you have been listening to Generations, where we lay down vision for the next generation, that is for our children and grandchildren. And you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, and I want to invite you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.